Free Speech Radio is alive and well in Sacramento on The Voice.
If only I could believe you. If only I could say you were right. Maybe I wouldn't notice. Maybe I could still fight the good fight. Are you just what you seem? Nothing comes of dreaming. Nothing comes of dreaming. You say it's all about freedom. It's all about liberation. But they want us to go now. And they're keeping all the guns we bought. Kiss me once before I go. The homeland must be secure, but it don't belong to us. And nothing comes from healing. Nothing comes from healing. Nothing comes from healing. Fight, don't fight. Fight, don't fight. If only I could believe you. If only I could say. I could still fight the good fight. Are you just what you seem? Are you only make believe? People always wear me down, but nothing comes from dreaming. Nothing comes from dreaming. Nothing comes from dreaming.
Fight. 96.5 FM, KUBU, the voice of Sacramento with Sean O'Brien and Fight the Good Fight. And fighting the good fight right now with me is Sean O'Brien, live in studio. Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, Mike, for having me along today.
Well, thanks for driving up all the way from the San Francisco Bay Area. You know, people always think, oh, everything's right next to each other in California. No, you had to drive an hour and a half or 2 hours to get here, so I really appreciate you doing that.
No problem at all. It was a very nice day to be going on a drive.
We are experiencing, I guess, a continuation of spring here.
Yes, it was really warm, actually.
Wow. Wow. You know, I think what's, you know, people don't mind that right now, but people listening to the other part of the country, I think if we had had this conversation a month or two ago when it was still really warm, that would have bugged them. So now everybody's got spring, so we can just, we can speak freely.
It is officially spring.
Yes. You're here. We're going to talk a little bit, well, about everything, but you have a gig right here in Sacramento next week. Do tell.
That's right. On Saturday night, next Saturday, a week from today, my band, Sean O'Brien and His Dirty Hands, will be playing at Old Ironsides at 9 o'clock.
Nice.
So it's the first gig I've done in this area in quite a while, and I have a fantastic live band these days that I want everyone to hear.
Awesome, so. Awesome. That's a venerable institution, the old Ironsides. You've played around Sacramento before. Have you played at that location before?
Yeah, I played at Old Ironsides and the Fox and Goose. And,
yeah.
But, you know, I went to school in Davis just down the road many, many years ago, and so I remember a lot of Sacramento clubs from late 80s, early mid 80s, all that kind of time too. Okay. That was a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah, so you're practically a Sacramentan then. No problem there.
Honorary. Yes.
Exactly. So let's give a shout out. Who are the Dirty Hands?
The Dirty Hands currently are Greg Leischer from the band Camper Van Beethoven.
Whoa.
Is the guitar player.
Okay.
And my bass player is Kevin T. White, who plays on tour with Chuck Prophet and
wow.
his band. And then the drummer is my longtime producer slash engineer, who's just an amazing guy, who, if you need your band recorded, call this guy. His name is Matt Boudreau.
Wow.
And so it should be a really good show.
Now, did Matt Boudreau also work on The Welcome Mat? Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah.
He's Matt, one of the Mats.
He is in The Welcome Mat. That's right. Another connection. I know Matt Langlois. And yeah, I met Matt about 10 years ago, and I've been recording my records with him ever since.
So there you go. That's, you know, obviously a good sound. And we've got a whole slew of your records to choose from, which I'm excited about. I've some stuff I haven't heard before here.
Yeah, these are all for you. I just, you know, the Christmas comes early, I guess.
I completely appreciate it. So you've been around. You were telling me that you've lived in a couple different places, lots of different bands. Are you from the Bay Area originally?
Yeah. I grew up in San Jose.
Okay.
And then went to school at UC Davis and then moved back to the Bay Area after that and was in bands, a band called Denim TV for a long time.
Okay.
And then moved to L.A. and spent 11 years in L.A., mostly in the 90s to the early 2000s. And my daughter was born there, and I became a dad. And I yearned to come back, so I came back to the Bay Area about 10 years ago. And been making records ever since.
Wow. Yeah, Northern California seems like a really good place to raise kids.
Yeah, it was that feeling that I had, that it was the right thing to bring her back and let her grow up here, and I'm really glad that we did.
That's good. That's good. Now, what did you study at UC Davis? I have to ask.
Well, it's interesting. I was pre-vet when I was there, but just found that I wasn't going to be able to pull the science class GPA that I needed to. So I ended up getting a degree in drama, which sounds really schizophrenic, I know.
dramatic veterinarian.
It was a lot of fun. I had a blast, and Davis has got a lot of good memories for me.
Absolutely. I have a good friend who has his master's in drama from UC Davis, so I'll give him his name.
What's
off.
His name?
Oh, okay. Dave Garrett.
Don't know him.
I think, try to remember when he went. It might have been a little bit after your
time.
Yeah,
probably later than me.
Yeah. In fact, he's hosted the show, too.
I go way back, Mike.
We both do. Old folks show here. it's funny. I saw a friend of mine posting on Facebook saying something like, you know, I refuse to listen to this oldie station in L.A. anymore, K-Earth, because they're playing Fleetwood Mac, and they're calling that an oldie. And I'm thinking, you know, I hate to tell you, but, you know, that stuff's over 30 years old. It's time moves so fast. We don't think of ourselves as oldies, but
no. But there's this term that's being thrown around now that kind of disturbs me a little bit. It's called classicist.
Classicist.
If you are a rock classicist, you like old stuff, which isn't, I don't think, true. I just won't. I will fight that label. Forever and forever.
I hear you. You know, I originally liked the term classic rock when it came out. It seemed like that was about the mid-80s. And so I started thinking, you know, and it took a while, but then I realized, you know, that means people don't ever listen to new music.
Yeah, and it's a sneaky term. You know, what does it exactly mean? How do you define it?
Yeah. At the time they defined it, they had to explain it. It was a station in L.A., and they had to define it. And they said, well, if you went to high school or college in the 60s or 70s, you probably like classic rock. And I thought, wow, okay, well, that fits me to a certain percent, but to a certain degree. But I look around, a lot of my friends my age, they don't listen to new music, and that really bothers me. It bothered me when my kids were listening to the stuff we grew up on, and I said, guys, listen to new music.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little easier for me because I'm out in clubs and I'm playing shows on occasion, and I'm trying to see new bands and listen to new music. And, you know, there's still a lot of good college radio stations in the Bay Area. So I make an effort to try to listen to new music, and, you know, some of it I like, some of it I don't, you know, but I pick and choose from every decade of rock, you know, in terms of what my tastes are.
Absolutely. Now, what would you consider your greatest musical influences?
Oh, man.
Big question, I know.
Mike, I don't have enough time here to tell you the list.
Well, that sounds good right there. So far, you're on the right track, yes?
Well, I mean, I really like a lot of different things, and my records are pretty eclectic, and I'm not trying to sound big-headed in any way. It's because I have tastes in a lot of different genres. You know, some of my stuff leans a little bit towards the Americana country-ish okay. kind of stuff. Some is kind of power pop. Some is pretty hard, almost punk rock kind of stuff. But I mix it up, and what I like doing is just following where the song takes you, because the song tells you what it needs. I know that sounds a little esoteric, but it's really true.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I can appreciate that. I try to do an eclectic show because I grew up in an era, you know, the 70s, and you know what I'm talking about, where a lot of different genres were mixed together on the same radio station in the same hour sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I started this show with Al Green today, and then I went to the Willie Wisely Trio, and, you know, couldn't be more polar opposites, but in a way they're not, because they just sound good to me. It's good music, well-constructed songs.
Good music is good music, and it doesn't matter.
Exactly. You know? And I love when there's connections. And when you said, you know, punk and power pop, I heard a little bit of that in your songs. You know, I haven't heard the Americana side of you. Maybe that doesn't filter through, but I could hear some of those influences for sure.
Yeah, I think if you listen to the records, there's a real mixture on every single one. And sometimes maybe I go a little bit too far. You know, on the last record, one person said, versatile, but overly experimental. So you can't please everyone, but I have a lot of fun making the music, and that's what I like to do.
Well, that's what's most important. And I assume that all the songs are your own compositions?
Pretty much. I don't do a lot of cover versions. I have done a little bit of co-writing here and there.
Okay.
One song on the last new record is a co-write with my old guitar player. But mostly it's me.
Okay. Sounds good. Some of the lyrics, some of the songs are a little bit ominous sounding, which I kind of like.
Yes, I've been told that, you know. I really am not trying to depress anyone at all.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to deal with real issues, and I'm trying to deal with real emotions. And, you know, some of them are happy and some of them are a little bit darker sometimes.
No, that's okay. I like listening to that. And sometimes, you know, the Final Say, that's a song I really like a lot. I probably played that more than anything else. That's got a foreboding sound, and the sound kind of draws me in. But yet I always think of that one like I'm listening to it driving around at night, you know, maybe wearing a leather jacket. Just, it's got that kind of sound to it, but it sticks in your head that way.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for playing it and, you know, voting highly of it and all that kind of stuff. I really appreciate it. That's just a fun song that I found one day when I came up with the bass line, because my girlfriend bought me a bass.
Nice.
Thank you, Laura. And once I had the bass line, the song came in about 10 minutes. It was really fun.
Wow. Is that typical of the way you compose music?
No, it's not. I mean, some songs come very quickly and some take months.
Wow.
And, you know, incrementally, you have to sort of piece them together. It just depends. It comes in different ways.
Very, very cool. So you play bass. I assume you play guitar because you've got one here as well.
Yes, I do indeed.
Are you? What do you play in the band normally?
I'm mostly playing rhythm guitar and singing.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I can get by with doing both of those at the same time, like juggling, I'm happy with that.
I don't even know how people manage to do that. I cannot even imagine that. I'm not a musician. One day maybe I will be, but I can't imagine being, I don't know if the word is ambidextrous or multitasking enough to be able to get your mouth and your mind to do one thing while also playing an instrument.
Well, it's really physical. It's really, you have to disconnect from your mind in a way.
Ah.
And you have to just get the song so ingrained in your body and the motion of what you're doing that it just comes really naturally. And that takes a while to do. Sounds easy. It's actually hard to do sometimes.
I would imagine there's some muscle memory involved, something
yeah,
like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Although I noticed, I mean, like Jimi Hendrix, I can't even imagine how he did what he did on guitar, let alone sing. He had a really nice singing voice too.
Yeah, he did. Which he never liked very much, which was really, really strange.
Yeah. But the fireworks that he pulled off while singing, sometimes while not singing, but I mean, that, to me, that's the ultimate example of that.
Yeah. And I think if you watch the video, I mean, the concert footage of him, his body is always very relaxed. And I think that really makes a difference in his ability to pull off all the things that he did.
Makes sense. And probably
because when you tense up, you can't do it as well. Trust me.
That makes sense. And I think he practiced so much. I mean, he's known for practicing like 10, 12 hours at a stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's how you become one with the instrument, to sound a little bit zen here.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't quite have enough time to do that in my, in my busy day. But yeah, that's, I think, how he was able to get that degree of familiarity.
Very, very interesting indeed. I'm here with Sean O'Brien of Sean O'Brien and His Dirty Hands. You brought me a bunch of music. Why don't we pop another one in, or play the same one? What would you like me to play? I'll play DJ here.
Okay. Why don't you play the first... Well, why don't you play Bone Snap from here? This is number 4.
Okay. This is the album Goodbye Game?
Goodbye Game.
And when did this one come out?
This came out in 2008.
Okay. 2008. This is Sean O'Brien and His Dirty Hands, and we're going to hear Bone Snap if the CD player... cooperates. We'll find out in a second. Here's Bone Snap, Sean O'Brien and His Dirty Hands here on Sacramento's Voice.
I heard what you said. It's okay to ask now. Split me open and pull out my black intentions. Snap a few bones. You know I don't really care. I was never ever good, never good with numbers. Your body has not fallen down, it still walks in the world, and your child sings happy birthday to you. Come on, you know the words. There are no gifts for you today, no cards and no ice cream, no bits of wrapping paper to pick up off the floor. Your gift today is the morning in your weary socks and shoes, and your contribution a conscience. Oh, it's gotten a hold of you. And your body has not fallen down, it still walks in the world, and your child sings happy birthday to you. Come on, you know the world. Snap.
96.5 FM, KUBU, The Voice with Sean O'Brien and His Dirty Hands and Bone Snap. I'm here with Sean himself. Sean, that's a cool song. I have not heard that one before. What album is that one off of?
That is off the album Goodbye Game.
And you've left me a whole plethora of albums, so we're going to dig into
this. I'm really sorry, Mike.
I'm really thrilled, Sean. So again, we have a gig. You have a gig next Saturday night. Go ahead and remind us.
Saturday night, March 28th at Old Ironsides. We're going on first at around 9 o'clock. So come on down and check it out.
Do you play a lot of gigs in San Francisco still?
Not as many as I'd like, but we're getting to play more and more. And I'm playing LA in June, so I'm trying to spread it out and play in different areas.
Nice, nice. Definitely spread the word about the Dirty Hands. Where did that band name come from? My wife laughed when I told her the name of the band. I think it's a great name.
Well, thank you. Here's the story, this is really the truth, and I won't, stretch it out too long. the great Irish writer James Joyce was once asked, somebody came up to him, because he had written Ulysses. It was a worldwide famous book. And somebody came up who was a fan and said, "Can I kiss the hand that wrote Ulysses?" And he said, "No." And she said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, it's done a lot of other things too." And that, I thought, was a great story, and somehow from that I got Dirty Hands, and whatever it means, you can use your imagination.
That's awesome, because I like to think of our mutual friend Dave Wenger, so I think, wow, Dave Wenger is a Dirty Hand.
Hey, sometimes. Dave. Yes, Dave is a great Dirty Hand. He fills in for me on bass many, many times, so he's a good guy.
He lends a helping hand. Awesome. Here with Sean O'Brien, you've got your guitar. This is kind of something I requested. I thought this would be cool to hear acoustically. Thank you for pacifying me, I guess is the word.
No, I'm honored. This is wonderful. It's fabulous.
Why don't we give it a shot?
This is Final Say. Cobbled from the voices of the things you wanted to be, I cannot add the direction, but I can referee my say. I want the final say. My say. I want the final say. Walk with me while I am able, if you know the words, the sympathy you're asking for, well, it is not assured. In therapy, you get the answers when you do the work. My say, I want the final say. My say, I want the final say. Sudden death and overtime, the clock will soon expire. The loser heads for consolation, almost home and tired. It's healing in your pity pool, you must get yourself dry. My say, I want the final say. My say, I want the final say. What are you saying? No one understands. What are you saying? No one understands. The acid tongue pacifiers won't tell you the truth. They're tied up in a subcommittee pending more review. It takes a lot of energy to craft a little lie. My say, I want the final say. My say, I want the final say. saying, no one understands. What are you saying? No one understands. Cobbled from the voices of the things you wanted to be.
That was awesome. Sean O'Brien, a live version of Final Say here on Twirl. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
That was really cool. Had you ever played that solo acoustic before?
Not really. No, that's a first.
Nice. Okay, we have an exclusive here.
Thank you, Mike.
I love when we could say you heard it here first on Twirl. Here with Sean O'Brien playing a gig next Saturday night right here in Sacramento at Old Ironsides. We've got about a minute left till the top of this hour. Or the bottom this hour, but we're not done yet. Can you stay with us for a little bit longer?
Absolutely. I can stay as long as you like.
Awesome. Okay, maybe we can just butt into the next show and just keep going until and barricade ourselves in here and just keep moving.
Okay. Just feed us breadcrumbs or something. I don't know.
Although I want to be a good radio citizen, so we don't want to do that to Lady Jamari and the Global Cafe. She's coming up at 6 o'clock. I'm here with Sean O'Brien. This is Twirl Radio. We're almost ready for a break, but stay with us. There's a whole lot more music. We had a really great chat with William Clear of William Clear and the Marvelous Fellows about Deadball, the movie from the 1880s era of baseball, which is a lot of fun. So definitely, that is something to see. Sean is going to be playing next Saturday, and he just left me a lot of records. So we're going to be playing some of his music, more of his music, as the weeks progress here on Twirl. And that is about it. So stay tuned for more. There's a few important messages, and then we'll come back with more Sean O'Brien's dirty hands, actually just his two dirty hands, here on Twirl Radio.
This is the radio station you've always wanted. The voice of Sacramento, created with you in mind.
Much of my time. Tried to entertain you. I tried to be your friend, but you just sat there silent. Great came this week. Oh, what happened?
96.5 FM, KUBU, the voice of Sacramento. My guest this hour, Sean O'Brien, and his song Shadow Sharks off the Future Harvest album. I believe this is the album that made me part of the Sean O'Brien fan club. Sean, thanks so much for coming down. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me along, Mike.
Oh, my pleasure. So you told me you're going to be doing a gig in L.A. coming up in June.
Yeah, I'm playing Sacramento next Saturday at Old Ironsides, and then I have a gig June 13th in Los Angeles at a place called Cafe Nila. And I'm opening for an old friend's band called Trotsky Icepick, so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really fun.
You know, if Sean O'Brien and his Dirty Hands wasn't a good enough band name, Trotsky Icepick is another awesome name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that can be topped, personally, you know, in the world of band names.
That, I mean, that's so punk sounding. It's an easy listening band or something, you know?
No, I mean, they are rocking, but I wouldn't call them punk, exactly.
No, the name is punk. But when you think about a lot of band names, what's in a band name? Like, before I ever heard The Grateful Dead, I thought they were going to be some kind of punk band just by the name.
Yeah, yeah. And they were not.
No, far from it. So it's kind of funny what's in a name. Bare Naked Ladies, they're not exactly that either. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, names in rock and roll are often used for shock value.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, the music is what matters. I know it sounds corny, but it's true.
It's all that matters.
I've seen loads of bands with great names, but not such great music.
Yeah, or great promo pictures, but not such great music.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I cast no aspersions on anyone, you know.
Exactly. We're just talking theoretically
this
here,
is
folks.
This is a generalization.
Yeah. No musicians were harmed in the making of this radio show.
That's right. Absolutely. We will not take any prisoners.
That's right. So if you could classify your music into a genre or genres, is there any way of doing that?
Well, I think it's pretty rockin'. I think it leans towards pop rock.
Okay.
But I think there's a little bit of country influence and definitely folk influence. And, you know, even on this last record, used some programmed drums that, you know, I'd never ever done before. So I try to stretch myself a little bit with each record.
Yeah, that would definitely be a new innovation.
But I like guitars, too, so they're always going to be there in some fashion.
Must always have the guitars. That's what makes it rock, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So a lot of great talents in the Bay Area. We have – I'm trying to think who else we have in common. We talked about the Welcome Mat with the two mats.
Right. Adam Marsland, I know, from L.A.,
yes.
From my L.A. days. It seems like there's some other ones that you've played on your show that I really like. You know, the Ready Mades and the Rubenews,
yes,
guys. I love them. And so, you know, kudos to you and the eclectic blend of people that you have in and the music that you play on the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate me finding them, but more importantly, them finding me and thinking enough of me to send music my way, you know, as you did. That's just amazing. Have you gotten good support from your albums?
Yeah, I mean, I've paid publicists, and actually my stuff is starting to get a little bit more airplay in Europe, curiously enough, than here. And I've been over there twice, and I really enjoy going over there. And over here, you know, it's hit and run. You know, some good press has come in on the last record, so I'm pretty happy with it.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You get
and this new live band that I have is amazing, and I want people to see it. And we're also working on a recording project that will be announced very soon. I don't have details yet.
Now, do you think that will take a different sonic turn since it's a new band?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we went into the studio in September and recorded some basics for 5 songs that may become an EP. And just this particular band has a chemistry that no other band I've had has. And I mean that in a really good way.
That's pretty exciting. That is really exciting. And is it the live band that you've been talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Same players.
Nice. Nice. So where is your recording studio? Who do you use?
Matt Boudreau has his home studio where we do some work.
Okay.
But we recorded this last record, Risk Profile, primarily at Sharkbite, which is in Oakland.
Okay.
A great, great studio, very affordable. And I just love working in there because the rooms, the big room where the drums are played has a really good sound. And that's key when you're recording rock and roll.
A good drum sound.
Yeah. It's hard to come by sometimes.
I know a band from Fresno, Sparkle Jet, and they save up their money and they recorded one of their albums with Steve Albini in Chicago. And the thing they kept saying, from the musician's point of view, they kept saying they captured the drums. And that's what they really liked about Steve, was he got that drum sound nailed.
It's the hardest instrument to record when you're in the studio.
Interesting. And you know what I liked about the recording? This was my point of view as a listener. I'm a guy that likes to listen with headphones. On that particular record, the bass came through as loud and clear as any of the other instruments. And to me, that was kind of a masterful bit of recording as well.
Yeah, that can be, you know, attributed to mastering, like you and I were talking about before. If you have a good mastering engineer who knows how to balance the bass and all of the low end with the high end, it can be really great.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's the hidden hero, one of the hidden heroes. We were talking before there was an internet, there was something called liner notes and album covers, and that's where I learned most of
it. Back in the day when I was a young man.
It wasn't about long ago.
We used to have vinyl.
Yes. You don't get the liner notes with MP3s, although a lot of musicians try, but I learned a lot of stuff.
You get the digital booklet now, which I always find somewhat disappointing.
It's PDF.
Not that great.
And nobody can autograph a PDF for me.
Good point, Mike.
I mean, it could be the best Sharpie in the world, but you still can't sign digits for me.
It's exactly true. Absolutely.
But I used to read up on titles like, you know, Mastering Done By and, you know, Engineers Done By. I learned a lot of stuff, but never really understood what it all meant until I started talking to musicians like yourself. And you said, oh, the mastering guy is the key. You know, there's an engineer, there's a producer. Producer is obviously really important in recording too. That's like, it's like the equivalent of a director in a movie, I think.
There are many, many steps that have to go right to get an end product that you're very, very happy with, because once it's done, it's done. And if you're not happy with that end product, you don't feel good about it going forward.
I hear you. I'm here with Sean O'Brien of Sean O'Brien and His Dirty Hands. I just love saying that out loud. We've got just a little bit of time left. You've got the guitar at the ready. Can you do one more song for us?
Yeah, I can do another song for you. This is from Risk Profile, my last record that came out in July of last year. And this is called How I Hate That Hand. Take that hand of temptation and lock it up in a drawer, and keep that old key in my pocket for when that hand crawls out for a little bit more. I'm gonna hold that little hand hostage and set forth my demands, tell you how much I love you and how much I hate, oh, how I hate that little hand. Every human has some habits. We must eat and drink and mate. You're 100 days clean, you've told me. Are you better now? I guess I'd better wait. We're gonna drink up in celebration, then smash every glass, and dance with the hand of temptation as it moves on past. It moves so fast. Well, have I harmed myself, I wonder? Well, yes, of course I have, by dancing a bit too long and reaching out for your tempting hand. Every human has some habits. We must eat and drink and mate. You're 100 days clean, you've told me. Are you better now? I guess I'd better wait.
keep you round to mention. My plan B is falling all to hell. You know so well. Eat and drink and mate. You're 100 days clean, you've told me. Are you better now? I guess I'd better wait. I'm gonna let you in on a secret. Well, I've got a little hand too. Sometimes it leads me to places far away, far away from you.
All right, that was great. Awesome, awesome. Sean O'Brien and How I Hate That Hand. And you know what? Never considered it before, but I could see what you mean by folk being an influence on you, at least with the acoustic version of this song, very much a folk song.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And I love the album version, too, because it's different. It's very chimey, and I actually used an orchestral chime on it. I rented it, pulled it into the studio, and it turned out great. I'm really happy with it.
Well, you know the sound you're looking for. I could hear a 12-string guitar on that, too. I could hear a Rickenbacker on that one, too.
And there's actually some 12-string on the record.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sean O'Brien, wow. That's what's nice about a good song is you can take it and use it in any setting. You can use it in a big, you know, in a big studio, on a big stage, or, you know, just a man and his guitar
well,
hair.
I like to call it the campfire test. You know, if it's something you can sit around a campfire and play and it's effective, then it's going to be effective no matter what you do to it. You know
yes.
what I mean? If it doesn't work in that context, it's probably not going to work in a bigger one.
That's a great point. I'm a big fan of the early MTV Unplugged series. And
me too, actually.
Whoever thought of that probably had that same thing in mind, and I gained respect for bands I maybe didn't like so well or didn't know much about. I mean, I loved when they had the hard rock or the metal musicians doing a set stripped down, and I thought, you know what, these are good songs and these are good musicians, and there's nothing but them and their strings, and I thought, you know what, I have to give these guys another listen.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can definitely build up a song with other elements to make it wonderful, but the core has to be something pretty solid.
That's really true.
In my humble opinion.
Well, you would know. You are a songwriter. I'm looking at least 9 or 10 of your albums and recordings here. So you've
I
been
sincerely apologize.
you've been there a couple times before. So we're coming to the end of our time here. Got to ask you the couple quick questions. This is the one that's most important of all. What are your favorite foods? What do you like to eat?
Oh, very good. I'm a vegetarian, but so pretty much anything with beans and rice is going to make me happy. Actually, one of my favorite places to go is a Brazilian place.
Ooh.
In L.A. You know, we were talking about L.A. earlier on, where I lived for a while. Cafe Brazil on Venice Boulevard is just amazing.
My sister-in-law has been trying to get us to go there.
Wow. Sepulveda in Venice.
Okay. She's been trying to get us to go there for years. She always says, when you guys come down, I'm taking you to Cafe Brazil. Although I didn't know that there was vegetarian fare there. So
oh, yeah. The vegetarian cool plate there is just terrific. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. You're making me hungry. It's my own darn fault for asking you so close to dinner time, though. Awesome, awesome stuff. So I cannot believe our time has almost come to an end. How can my listeners find out more about you
and
your music?
Websites. Okay. Go to www.seanobmusic.com, and there are sound clips of all my stuff there on my website. And then all my stuff is available on iTunes. So look under Sean O'Brien, Sean O'Brien's Dirty Hands, The Mariettas, Denim TV, and you know, you'll find plenty of stuff. I did a little Meantime and True West stuff in there, too.
Very cool. And it's Sean, S-E-A-N, O'Brien, O'Brien.
Exactly. Thank you. A fine Irish boy.
Yes. And that's a great name that has many spellings, you know, so we had to make sure we got the right one.
Well, you know, I went to Ireland thinking it was really, really unique. I found out O'Brien is the 5th most common name in Ireland.
Wow. Right behind Smith, Jones, and Wong, I guess. Yeah.
There you go.
Sean O'Brien, why don't you pick one more? I've got four CDs at the ready. Why don't you pick one more song for you?
I think Goodbye Game is in there, so play Goodbye Game. That's the last song on Goodbye Game, which is track 12.
The title track off Sean O'Brien.
It's a goodbye song, so it's appropriate that it be the last song.
We'll close on Goodbye Game. Sean O'Brien, thank you so much for hanging out here
on
Swirl
Radio.
Thank you,
Mike. This has been really fun.
And have a great show next week.
Thank you.
What you feel.